Hey everyone, welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're diving into some really cool stuff today, all this buzz around AI image and video generation. You know, staying ahead of the curve is kind of our thing, right? And this stuff, well, it's moving at warp speed.
Yeah, it can be tough to even keep up, let alone figure out what's actually important.
That's exactly why we're here. You sent over some seriously interesting stuff, really insightful. We've got ChatGPT's brand new image model, how it stacks up against the competition, AI being used in the latest music video that caught my eye, and then a deep dive on Google's VO2. It's their video creation tool, and from what I've seen, it's impressive.
Those three sources.
Yeah,
they paint a pretty good picture of where things are at right now. It's a good starting point.
So here's the plan. We're pulling out the most important bits the real world uses and what it all means for the future. Consider it a shortcut just for you. So by the end, you'll know exactly what's up and why it matters. Sound good?
Sounds like a plan.
All right, let's kick things off with ChatGPT. Their new image model is causing quite a stir. It sounds like it's doing more than just mimicking existing styles.
Right. Early on, it was all about that Ghibli-style transformation. Everyone loved that. But the real game changer here is the model's ability to create entirely new visual styles. It's not just imitating anymore. It's genuine creation.
That's a huge leap, isn't it? It's one thing to copy, but to create something new, that's a whole other ballgame. And they really pushed it to the limit with those famous painting recreations. Those were fascinating. Can you tell us a bit more about those experiments?
The goal was to see if ChatGPT could understand more than just the artwork itself. Could it grasp the context surrounding the creation of the piece? So they gave it prompts to imagine scenes like Van Gogh actually painting Starry Night, Munch in the moment that inspired the Scream, Monet at his water lily pond, Da Vinci coming up with a Mona Lisa, Vermeer with his girl with a pearl earring.
Wow. So it wasn't about recreating the final painting, but about capturing the act of creation. That suggests a much deeper level of understanding, right?
That's it, exactly. It was about understanding the artist, the subject, the environment, all within a single prompt. It implies a level of contextual awareness that goes beyond simple image recognition.
So let's say I want to create images using ChatGPT. What are my options? How do I actually go about doing that?
You've got a couple of main routes. There's the Omni model, and that's built right into the ChatGPT interface in the chat. You just type out what you want using natural language, just like you're talking to a person. The other way is through Sora.com. They have a dedicated section for image generation. Sora gives you more control up front, things like aspect ratio, the number of images you want, some presets to start with, and even a library of what other people have created and the prompts they used.
So is using the Omni model, the one within ChatGPT itself, fairly straightforward?
Oh, it is. The sources really emphasized how easy it is to use. Just natural language, even Korean, and you get some pretty impressive results. You don't need to learn a whole new technical language for prompts. That accessibility is a huge plus for many people.
Let's dive into an example. The Van Gogh one, where they recreate the scene of him painting Starry Night. That seems like a good illustration of the back and forth you have with the AI.
Perfect example. They started simple. Create Van Gogh painting Starry Night. Got the image, but they wanted to see Van Gogh in action. So the next prompt, change this painting to a real scene.
So the AI had to grasp the concept of turning a flat painting into a real moment, a scene unfolding.
Exactly. And it delivered.
Yeah.
You could see Van Gogh pretty realistic, but the lighting felt a bit off, artificial, and the background still had that painterly quality to it. So to fix that, they used the original Starry Night as a reference image and asked the AI to adjust the lighting, make the background more realistic.
So it's this iterative process. You give it instructions, see what it does, then refine it, give it more instructions. That seems pretty common with these tools.
Very common.
Yeah.
You're constantly tweaking, guiding it toward your vision. So they kept going, adding more and more detail. They requested specific things from the original painting, like those swirling clouds, the church, those distinctive trees, even adjusted the position of the moon, added a lantern to make the light source more natural.
And they actually changed the type of light source, right?
Yeah, the initial one looked too modern. So they used a selection tool within ChatGPT, highlighted that specific area, and asked for a lantern instead. They even provided a reference image for the lantern, so the AI understood the style. And lastly, they changed the aspect ratio to horizontal. Here's the kicker. ChatGPT didn't just stretch the image. It rearranged everything, all the elements, to create a well-composed horizontal image.
Wow, that's smart. So it understands composition, balance. That's pretty significant. Now, how does ChatGPT compare to some of the other big names out there, like Midjourney? and Google Image FX. They're big players in this field.
They are. And from the tests done in these sources, Midjourney tended towards more abstract results. It had a harder time separating the painter, the painting, and a real-world scene. It would blend them in odd ways. And the faces, the artist's faces, they seemed quite random, like it wasn't quite grasping the whole picture.
So it sounds like ChatGPT might have a bit of an edge when it comes to understanding the user's intent. What about Google Image FX? How does it compare?
Image FX was definitely better at creating photorealistic images. Its depiction of Van Gogh, for example, was much more lifelike, more photorealistic than ChatGPT's. But it still struggled to separate the real from the painted elements in the background. And importantly, it didn't have the ability to edit specific parts of the image directly or to upload reference images. That made it a lot harder to really fine-tune the results to get what you wanted. You can only really guide it through prompting. And that often meant very detailed, very specific instructions.
So each tool has its strengths, its weaknesses, and caters to different needs. Now, what about editing specific parts of an image? That seems like a really useful feature.
It is incredibly useful. For fine-tuning, you need that. Midjourney and Photoshop allow for that very precise selection. But sometimes, the edits looked unnatural, like they were just pasted on top. ChatGPT's approach, maybe not as precise in the selection itself, created a more natural blend between the original and the edited parts. That's a big plus. Photoshop's generative fill, that was awesome. For filling in blank areas when you change an image's aspect ratio, seamless. But ChatGPT, it could generate factually accurate details in those filled areas. It was just a tad less precise. Interesting trade-off.
Fascinating. And to make these AI images actually usable, you've got to upscale them, right? Higher resolution.
Absolutely. Crucial step. Especially if you're thinking print, high quality output. The sources mentioned using Topaz AI for this. It bumps up the resolution, and you can even tweak how realistic you want the final image to look.
Yeah.
Really key for maximizing quality.
All right, so we've got a good handle on AI image generation, how ChatGPT is doing, how it stacks up against the competition. Let's move on to video. Things get really exciting there. The sources compare Pika 2, Runway Gen 4, and Kling. First, can you give us a quick overview of the workflow for creating AI videos? What are the basic steps involved?
Sure. It often starts with creating those high-quality images we've been talking about. Once you've got those, you bring in an AI video tool to animate them, bring them to life, and then often you upscale the resulting video to make it even better.
And it sounds like Pika 2 was the go-to for a lot of the video examples. What made it stand out? What were its strengths?
Pika 2 was really impressive when it came to creating natural-looking human movement. It just nailed it. Also, surprisingly good at simulating things like water. It would even generate these subtle little movements, barely noticeable, but they added to the realism. Sometimes, it even came up with interesting camera angles, unexpected but cool. The one limitation mentioned was the lack of fine-grained control over the video direction. You couldn't get super specific.
What about Runway Gen 4? I know earlier versions had some quality issues. How's Gen 4 doing?
Much better. Gen 4 is a big jump in quality from Gen 3, which had a tendency to lose quality pretty noticeably when converting images to video. But when it came to understanding prompts, nailing the physics of movement, it still seemed a bit behind Pika 2. One promising thing was the improvement in maintaining character consistency across different shots, although the sources said this still needed more testing. They're also getting praise for making it more user-friendly, especially for artists.
And Kling AI, we touched on it a bit earlier with the music video. What are its key strengths?
Kling AI was amazing for the sheer quality of the AI-generated video. Right out of the gate, high quality. And that's a big advantage when you then upscale it using something like Topaz AI. But for that music video project, Pika 2 was the final choice because the human movement was considered more realistic.
Interesting, right? So trade-offs. Each tool excels in different areas. Now, let's shift gears a bit. How is ChatGPT image generation actually being used? This isn't just a fun toy, right? This is making its way into the real world.
Oh, absolutely. The sources stress the importance of checking out what other people are doing, getting inspiration from the official platforms. One really practical use is poster design. ChatGPT showed it could nail consistent typography, a consistent style, really complementing the generated image. Think party posters, announcements, magazines, even eye-catching video thumbnails.
So creating visually consistent marketing materials quickly and easily, what other real-world uses were particularly interesting?
Infographics were a big one. ChatGPT can translate information into visuals, and that's huge for explaining complex stuff or instructions. They gave examples like wine descriptions, gym equipment instructions, even assembly manuals. Visuals often are much easier to grasp than walls of text. The key is ChatGPT's ability to understand how visuals and information relate to each other.
Right. A well-designed infographic can say so much in a glance. And the last practical application was UI/UX design. For those who don't know, that's user interface and user experience design, basically how people interact with digital stuff.
That's it. They used examples from Sora.com, showing how ChatGPT can help design the interface for apps, like shopping malls, rental services, even stock trading apps. And because ChatGPT is so good with language, it really shines when the design involves a lot of text. It even understood key features of apps, like maps and navigation apps, important data in stock apps. It's suggesting it could be a great tool for initial mock-ups, brainstorming new designs.
So it can help visualize, even inform the design of digital interfaces. We're talking a wide range of applications here. Now, looking ahead, the future, this tech is moving so fast. What are some potential directions, big trends we might see?
The sheer volume of new AI tools popping up is mind-boggling. The sources pointed to two main trends. One is the integrated platform, like Pika 2, where you have all these AI capabilities in one place, image generation, editing, upscaling, dubbing, video creation, all under one roof, often with one credit system. It's all about simplifying the user experience.
That's much more convenient than juggling a dozen different tools and subscriptions. Makes sense. What's the other trend?
The other one is multimodal AI. Mm-hmm. And this is being driven by the big players, the big tech companies. It's the idea of having comprehensive AI models that can handle language, images, and video all together. The thinking is that companies with mountains of data, Google with its YouTube library, for example, they'll eventually be able to create AI that just blows away what smaller, more specialized startups can do. And all the user-generated data, photos, and videos, that's only going to accelerate things further.
So we might see these all-encompassing AI models from the big companies becoming the dominant force.
Interesting. To wrap up our discussion on ChatGPT image generation specifically, what are your key takeaways? What stands out to you?
You know, with how easy it's becoming to create images with tools like ChatGPT, there's a real chance of oversaturation. And the perceived value of simple, quick outputs, that could go down. To really stand out, make a mark, creators will need to focus on originality, on creating meaningful work, and pushing the boundaries of quality. And the creative community, sharing knowledge, experimenting, that's going to be crucial for navigating this new landscape.
It's about moving beyond the novelty, the initial wow factor, and focusing on creating real value. Now, the source has also provided a helpful overview of the image generation and processing workflow, all the steps involved. Can you walk us through those quickly?
Sure.
You usually start by generating the image, using natural language prompts. ChatGPT has the advantage here of understanding Korean and letting you upload reference images. Then you move to image editing, often using brush tools for precise adjustments that blend in naturally. You've got intelligent resizing, rearranging elements when you change the aspect ratio. Then it's upscaling, using tools like Topaz AI to increase the resolution, fine-tune the realism. And finally, for video, you convert those images to video using things like Pika 2 for natural movement, Runway Gen 4 for better quality, Kling AI for high initial video quality, and often you'll do a final 4K upscale to top it off.
And to recap those different image generation tools, their strengths and weaknesses, there was a handy comparison table. Let's just go over that quickly.
All right. ChatGPT, it's great at understanding context, supports Korean, you can use reference images, and the partial edits blend naturally. The downside is sometimes it struggles with perfect factual realism. Then there's Midjourney. It's the king of artistic, unique images, but it has a tougher time with context, complex scenes, and making those edits look natural. Google Image FX delivers realistic results, great facial accuracy, but you can't do partial edits, no reference images, you often need very detailed prompts.
So lots of tools, each with its own personality, its own strengths. And as we discussed, the future seems to be pointing towards more integrated, user-friendly AI, with the big tech companies potentially taking the lead with their all-in-one solutions, fueled by all that user data. Now let's dive into a fascinating real-world application, AI being used in the music video for Yada, Tassin Song, Oka. This is a big step, right?
Absolutely. AI being used to create actual scenes in a professional music video, that's a milestone. Motion graphic designer use AI for several key visuals in Era. We're talking a snowy cabin, a deer staring right into the camera, even those falling icicles.
And what makes this so significant? It's not just a fun experiment. This is a finished product, a professional piece of work.
That's the key. And what's really mind-blowing is the time saved. We're talking hours versus weeks or even months if they've done those scenes with traditional CG or filming. This project shuts down those doubts about AI's practicality. It's proof, solid proof, of its potential in the real world.
Which AI-generated scenes actually made it into the final music video? Can you tell us a bit more about those?
The opening shot, setting the scene, a snowy forest cabin, that was all AI. And that crucial scene with the deer looking straight at the camera, a powerful moment, that was AI too. Even that delicate detail of snowflakes on a hand, AI. The sources said that was a tricky one to get right with some interesting stories behind it. And beyond what was used, they generated tons of variations of these shots, all in a short amount of time.
The speed is incredible, the complexity of these visuals, and they're created so quickly. Let's talk advantages. Using AI in the real world, the deer shot, that seems like a good example to explore.
It's a perfect example. Imagine trying to film a deer in the wild, trying to get it to do something specific, like look right at the camera. Nearly impossible to control, especially in Seoul, a city. You could use stock footage, but finding the exact shot you need, a snowy deer with antlers looking back in just the right way, it's tough. And if you need multiple shots of the same deer, maintaining consistency is a nightmare. Plus, stock footage often lacks that cinematic quality you want for a music video.
And CG, creating a realistic deer with computer graphics, that's a huge undertaking, right?
It's massive. Creating a believable CG animal is so complex, so time-consuming. You've got to model the animal, rig it for animation, animate the movements, simulate realistic fur. It's a whole team of skilled artists, tons of computer power, a lot of money.
Which brings us to the advantages of AI production in this case.
AI was way faster than hunting for stock footage that perfectly fit their vision. It also gave them flexibility. They could generate different angles, different perspectives, but keep the style consistent. And the AI, it was surprisingly good at depicting natural animal movement. The workflow was so much more efficient, it let them create shots that would have been practically impossible or way too expensive with traditional methods, like a wild deer interacting with the camera in a specific way. And it even opened up unexpected creative possibilities, like that snowflake effect on the hand.
So it's not just about saving time and money, it's about doing things that were previously out of reach creatively. Now let's break down the process. How is AI integrated into the music video production? What were the steps?
It all started with planning, careful planning. The director, the team, they figured out which scenes would be AI generated. Six shots, in this case. They created a detailed shot list early on that was crucial, prevented headaches later when selecting and developing the shots. Similar shots, like the deer, they grouped them together, made batch processing in the AI tools much more efficient.
So, smart organization, maximizing efficiency with the new tools. Makes sense. What about generating those initial images, the ones they'd turn into video? How'd they do that?
They found it best to generate still images first, high-quality ones, using text prompts, then convert those to video. It was faster, more accurate, than trying to generate video directly from text. For the images, they used Google Image FX and Midjourney. Image FX, they leaned towards that for realistic imagery, important for blending with the real-life footage. To get even more detailed, realistic AI images, they use a custom ChatGPT prompt generator. It helped create super-specific descriptions, like the deer's antlers, background expression, camera angle, lighting. Because the AI is so fast, they generated multiple variations for each shot, 6 to 10, just to explore options.
And then those stills were brought to life, animated. Which AI tools did they test, and why was Kling AI the winner?
Several tools were in the running. Luma AI, Kling AI, Runway Gen 3, Sora. Kling AI won out because it maintained the quality of those still images best, created natural movement. Runway Gen 3, it lost quality during conversion, noticeable drop. Sora, it can generate video directly, but it had more of a documentary feel, not that cinematic look they wanted. The prompts in Kling AI, they kept them simple. Camera movement, deer looks forward, then turns around, things like that. Clear and concise.
So many files, so many versions. Keeping it all organized must have been a challenge.
The big challenge. File management was essential. Separate folders for each shot in the video, a consistent naming convention, including the cut name, the AI tool used, any specific options, made it all trackable. And since there wasn't really native 4K AI video yet, they upscaled those final AI clips to 4K using Copaz AI. That way, they matched the quality of the other footage. Final files went to the director for color correction to make sure everything blended seamlessly.
Great breakdown. You have some practical advice from the sources, things to keep in mind if you're thinking of using AI for your own video projects.
Some really important points. First, be upfront with your client about the limitations of AI video, how much control you have, potential issues with character consistency, the fact that some effects might still be difficult for AI to pull off reliably. In this case, the director, Oke, he understood these limitations and planned accordingly. Smart move. Second, know what AI is good at, what it struggles with. AI does well with real-world scenarios, things that has lots of visual data to learn from. Left common or abstract ideas, those can be trickier. So experiment, have backup plans. Lastly, all that time you save with AI. Use it to refine details, boost the overall quality. And good organization is crucial when you're dealing with multiple AI tools, tons of versions.
And the director, what was his perspective on using AI in this project? What was his overall take?
His view was that AI, it can simplify things, make 3D work seem more accessible, but you still need expertise, real skill to get the most out of it and create quality work. He sees AI as a tool, not a replacement. It enhances what 3D artists and filmmakers can do. It doesn't replace them.
A really balanced perspective. AI augmenting human creativity, that's the key. To recap the AI workflow for the main stages, quickly for our listeners.
Planning, analyzing the storyboard, figuring out the AI shots, organizing everything. Image generation, choosing between image FX for realistic scenes. Mid-journey for more abstract stuff, using detailed prompts, generating lots of variations. Video conversion, Kling AI was the star. Great quality, easy to use for simple movements. Then post-processing, upscaling to 4K with Topaz AI, color correction, file management.
And just to summarize those AI video tools again, their strengths for quick reference.
Google Image FX, great for realism, but the prompts can get complex. Midjourney, fantastic for creative, abstract visuals, less so for photorealism. Kling AI, quality champ, easy to use for simple movements. Runway Gen 3, lots of movement options, but at the cost of some quality. Sora can generate directly, but less cinematic.
And the overall limitations and potential of AI video based on this project, what stood out?
Limitations. Fine-grained control, character consistency, rare or specific effects, lack of widespread native 4K. But the potential. Huge time savings, creating complex shots, realistic natural phenomena, unexpected creativity, cost-effectiveness. AI is best as a complement to traditional methods, especially when time or budget is tight or you need tricky visuals. But expertise is still key. And the speed of AI, it lets you iterate, explore ideas more.
Fascinating stuff. Now, the big one, the next leap, Google's VO2. People are calling it even more advanced than Essor. We've mentioned him. He's been a beta tester and Emmy winner. What are his thoughts?
He said his experience with VO2 has been shocking and unbelievable. Claims it surpasses Essora in many ways. He was going to show us his experiments, discuss workflows for all AI video, talk about what it means for the future. Exciting stuff.
And he showcased videos based on his subscribers' ideas. Talk about putting it through its paces. What kind of scenarios did it create?
Wild stuff. Some really specific to Korean culture, too. Like a hoverboard flying through Seoul, an alien smelling kimchi jjigae, joining an 8-ass-tad tiger and lion after an exam, a Gundam bursting out of the National Assembly building. It's not just creative, it can handle those cultural nuances better than other AI from what I've seen.
That cultural understanding, that's impressive. How do you turn those ideas into actual videos?
He grouped similar ideas by themes, then upped the difficulty, combining requests. So Seoul plus animals, elephants in Seoul. Jumanji style, with Korean signs, lions on the subway, incredibly detailed fur, monkeys running amok, a raccoon vlogger with a gas mask and accessories, an alpaca firefighter, a polar bear on the subway, even a crossbody bag detail. The animals, the realism, it blew Sora and other AI out of the water.
That's a lot of variety. What about those other themes, alien plus Korean food and SF movie plus Korea?
So for alien plus Korean food, we saw an alien smelling. Then eating kimchi jjigae and shumai with office workers and alien grilling meat, a UFO over Seoul, people filming it, all realistic. Then Gua Square, an alien falling, Admiral Yi Sun Sin statue fighting it. Kind of game-like, but it shows the potential. Imagine trying to create these shots with CG, it'd be a nightmare, so expensive. Then SF movie plus Korea, a Gundam, not Taekwon V because of copyright, coming out of the National Assembly building. A hoverboard in Seoul, people filming it, amazed. A Harry Potter scene, broomsticks, a bit awkward but promising. Students doing crazy acrobatics, it's bringing imagination to life.
It really is. Did he also test its ability to handle physics or specific prompt elements?
He did. He tried things like a square bubble. A delivery driver carrying 4 packs of water upstairs, very accurate, even the Korean water bottle details. Spray turning into fire, a transparent car on water worked partially. Blending was a bit off.
So versatile, but were there any limitations, any weaknesses that came up?
It struggled a bit with purely imaginative concepts, things with no real-world visual data, like space or super futuristic stuff. Smooth transformations in a single shot, that was tricky. And fast motion or precise physics that sometimes led to awkwardness, inaccuracies, like an animal disappearing for a moment during a fast movement.
Yeah.
And copyright, you can't replicate famous characters, places, products, exactly. So you have to get creative sometimes.
A reminder that AI still has its boundaries. Now, the source offered some advice, general tips for improving AI video quality, particularly with VO2.
Different AI, different strategies. Study the official examples, the successful prompts. That's key. For VO2 specifically, start with the prompts from their showcase videos. GPT's new project feature that can help analyze those prompts, see why they work, then iterate. If your video isn't quite right, ask GPT to analyze a similar successful one, see what made it tick, and apply those lessons to your prompt. Keep feeding GPT those successful prompt elements it learns. And most importantly, because AI is so fast, spend that extra time working with GPT, refining your ideas, making your prompts better. That's how you get quality creative content.
It's a back and forth, learning from the AI, refining your approach, collaborative. What was the overall conclusion from those VO2 experiments?
The big takeaway was VO2's ability to create scenarios without real-world references. It analyzes and recombines video data, smart stuff. That means it can potentially create truly new things, not just remix existing footage. But creating high-quality output for totally new situations, that's still a challenge for AI video. And VO2, the quality is getting so real it blurs the lines, raises questions about releasing it publicly. You need strong regulation to prevent misuse, potential chaos.
Big ethical questions for sure. The source also had a more technical analysis, comparing VO2 to Sora head-to-head. What were VO2's main strengths?
They compared them side-by-side, using Sora's own showcase prompts. VO2 had some clear advantages. Simulation, incredible. Animal fur, water physics, bubbles, sand, how shells move, how materials break, bend, complex stuff like a rubber duck being squished with water, slime in a donut, orange on chocolate. It's CG level realism. Creative expression, excellent. Cat skateboarding with sunglasses, ice on fire, it's not just mimicking. Prompt execution, handled complex prompts well. Overall quality, more cinematic, better for commercial work than other AI video. Video graphics, wow. Logo reveals, underwater stone VO2 logo. Others match the shot mood perfectly. Lego stop motion, sci-fi battles, more consistent quality than other AI.
So a clear winner in several areas. Were there any specific examples that really highlighted the difference?
Plenty. Skateboarding cat, VO2, realistic lighting, natural jump, water splashes, raindrops, wet fur, soar, awkward jump, no water interaction. VO2 wins. Lighthouse, Sora, choppy simulation, inconsistent foam, VO2, natural waves from afar, realistic foam, smooth motion, VO2 better at water, busking scene, VO2 felt natural, like someone was filming it, Sora, often too artificial, studio-like lighting, nacho boat, Sora, creative animation, VO2, more realistic, could be an ad, overall, VO2, fewer errors, more natural, especially with nature, more cinematic, probably learned from high-quality movies, dramas on YouTube. Sora feels like it's trained on stock footage.
The training data, that makes a big difference. What about Sora? Did it have any advantages in this analysis?
It did. In terms of user control, customization, it has remix, adjust variations, blend, smooth transitions, looping, recutting, a storyboard feature. More customization than VO2 right now.
And any VO2 limitations that stood out?
No direct image to video. You can create an image in VO2, then animate it. But both platforms have more areas with image to video than text to video. Sudden jumps, less control. VO2, beta was limited to 720p, though they say 4K is possible. Public release, who knows? Could be misuse concerns. Two creation options. Text to video, text to image to video. Text to video performed better.
Each platform has its quirks, its pros and cons. Now, the source gave a detailed method for optimizing prompts applicable to any AI. Can you walk us through it?
All right. Step one, collect successful prompts. The official VO2 website, perfect place to start. Step two, create a ChatGPT project. Call it VO2 Prompt Generator. Step three, give ChatGPT instructions. Show it good VO2 examples. Ask for English translations of the prompts. Step four, paste a prompt. Ask ChatGPT to change things. The animal, the prop, the location, play around. Step five, copy the new prompt into VO2, generate. Step six, wait 3 to 5 minutes. You'll have 4 versions. Pick the best. Feed GPT more VO2 examples. The better it gets at understanding what works.
Systematic, almost scientific. Learning what works, then using language models to explore variations. What were the main VO2 limitations they highlighted again?
No external image to video. Needs more control for professional use. Fast human movement. Still some errors. Inconsistent character generation.
But the overall verdict, still very positive, right?
Oh, yeah. VO2, right now, the best video AI out there. The motion errors, those likely be fixed soon. For now, using multiple AI tools is smart. Play to each one's strengths. But VO2's quality, it's a massive leap. We'll see big changes in the industry, 1 to 2 years, maybe a totally different way of doing things in 5, maybe sooner. Sharing information, staying informed, that's how we adapt, find new opportunities.
We're on the edge of something big, that's for sure. One last time, those AI video prompt optimization steps for our listeners.
Reference collection, analyze those good prompts, optimize them, add details, action, style, camera stuff, test, iterate, manage your results. That's the recipe.
Fantastic. This has been a deep dive, a real deep dive. ChatGPT's new image model, those comparisons with Midjourney, ImageFX, AI Video, Pika 2, Runway Gen 4, Kling AI, and the amazing VO2. Real-world applications, poster design, infographics, UI, UX, AI, and music videos. It's mind-blowing.
Mind-blowing and moving so fast. This has been a great overview, a much-needed snapshot of where things are at.
And for you listening, we hope this is giving you that shortcut, that understanding of these technologies you were looking for. It's complex stuff, but we're here to break it down. Now, a final thought. With this speed of development, the amazing things we've seen, what new opportunities do you see emerging? Creative, professional, anything. And what skills will be most valuable in this new world, this AI-driven creative landscape? Something to ponder. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive.